Can you just share with me and our listeners a little bit about what your presentation is going to focus on at the National Conference on Divorce, and what will the takeaways be? What will people leave the presentation with?
Well, there's a lot in the presentation, so we certainly don't have time to go through all of it, but we're going to talk about some of the developments of technologies that are being used when spouses or lovers spy on one another. The spyware, of course, has moved from being just on computers to now being on cell phones, and I guess we've seen perhaps a 700% increase in the number of cell phones coming into our forensics lab. So people are always interested in what we could get off of those phones. They know about the computers, and they've learned all of that before, but they don't know about digital forensics so much with cell phones and perhaps with social media as well. Occasionally we'll find attorneys will try to preserve their own social media. That's not wise, because when it goes to be authenticated, of course, you really should have a third-party expert, and we'll talk about how cheaply you can procure a third-party expert in that kind of a situation. So I think that that's something that people really want to know. They also want to know how the technology has changed, and it's changed very rapidly in the last 2 to 3 years. And there are ethical implications for everything you do as a lawyer in trying to get this kind of electronic evidence in, whether it's from Facebook or whether it's off a smartphone. The temptation to deceive in some manner can sometimes be overwhelming. I know we've had a recent case where a husband created a fake Facebook account, and he made himself a lot of friends, and once he had established a credible body of friends, and he looked like somebody who would be good to know, he friended his wife, who did not know who this phony account belonged to, and therefore he was now tracking what he believed to be her demonstration on Facebook that she was an unfit parent. But of course, once he goes to an attorney, the attorney cannot be a part of any continuing deception, and we'll be talking about that case in Las Vegas.
Well, that's very interesting. And I'm sure that you know that the benefits of having this sort of information from a competitive advantage is that lawyers really need to be up to date as much as they possibly can, because their competitors, maybe if they're more up to date than they are, they have a better chance of landing evidence or using evidence against their client that's going to obviously be detrimental to their case.
That's certainly true. And, of course, in the old days, one of the primary mistakes attorneys would make is that they would go looking for social media evidence on the opposing party, and they would forget to check the social media accounts of their own client, who didn't always quite tell them the truth. As we all know, clients are not always to be believed, and sometimes even the ones that seem most credible, there are things out there that we need to know about.
Right. Just to give people a bit more of a flavor as to subjects you'll cover and topics that you'll be covering at the conference, can you give me a sense of, you know, what has been the most striking change in the technology in this area of law?
I think it's probably related to smartphones, because now texts are so much of the evidence we received. It used to be all emails. That was always the smoking gun, and now a lot of the times it's in the text messaging. The ability to retrieve deleted text messages has improved greatly, and a lot more phones are supported. Companies are understanding that there's a huge market here, so we follow that. If any of your listeners had to pay the kind of money we pay every year for hardware and software to stay at the cutting edge of all this, I think people are really astonished when they find out how expensive it is to be able to do this kind of work on an ongoing basis, because there are so many new devices each year and new operating systems, and you've got to be able to handle them all. So the answer to what can you get, how do you get it, and what can I do with it changes with time, as do factors of admissibility as we get court questions and so forth. So we'll try to go into all that. The authentication piece is very valuable to attorneys, I think.
Right, that's great. And I know you've touched on social media evidence and how do you make sure that it's admissible in court. You'll be talking, can you talk just a little bit more about that?
Well, there are some specific tools that we use here, and they're not expensive, those particular tools. So that's why I think that an attorney would be foolish not to have an expert simply go in and whatever it is you found, let the expert find it, let the expert capture it. Those tools are cheap. The time is small. So for a relatively low dollars, you're going to get an independent third-party expert. And as we all know, these things tend not to go to trial. Most of them settle. So you may not have to worry about, you know, the expenses of having an expert come to trial and testify. But it's always better to have the third-party expert. It's hard to put yourself on the stand.
Right, absolutely. Sharon, I've heard that it's possible that you can order your spouse or lover's phone to call you when a call is made so you can listen in. Is that actually possible?
It is, and I think people are sometimes surprised to hear it, although many of your listeners may be aware of this kind of spyware. But I would tell them that right now we cannot install that kind of spyware remotely. You have to have access to the phone, but I anticipate that will change over time. Everything does. But perhaps another feature that the spyware can do that I think alarms a lot of folks when they hear about it is that not only can you do that, have the phone call you when your spouse in their car perhaps is making a call, but you can also turn on the microphone on the phone. So, for instance, remotely, a husband whose wife is going out to lunch with three of her friends and they're chatting about their love lives or whatever, and maybe extramarital love lives, if you turn that mic on, the husband can hear what the four women are saying. And so often we see people, when they do go out to lunch, of course, they put their smartphones right on the table. And so if the mic is on, chances are he can hear everything.
Right. That's very fascinating. I'm sure you'll have many stories to tell at the conference that will be interesting but also useful in terms of their practice and how they can do a better job of looking after their clients, the family lawyers. For people who want to learn more about Sharon, I would encourage you to go to her firm's website to learn more about John and her. And they have many articles on there, and they have lots of information that you would find helpful for your practice. The website address is senseient.com. I'll say that again. It's www.senseient.com. And for those of you who wish to find out more about the AICPA AAML National Conference on Divorce itself, which is happening April 24th and 25th, 2014, at the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas, you can go to the AICPA website, which is cpa2biz.com/div, D-I-V. I'll say that once again. It's cpa2biz.com/div. Or you can call 888-777-7077. Sharon, thank you very much for taking a few minutes today. I really look forward to your presentation. I don't think any family lawyer should miss it. I think that it's critical to their practice, and this type of evidence is only going to become more and more important to them. And it would be great for them to connect with somebody who I believe is the top person in the field. Although you didn't say it yourself, Sharon, I think I'm going to say it. I believe from what I've read and seen so far, you're it. So AICPA and the AML should be very proud to have you speaking at their conference.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me with you. And John and I look forward to hearing you and your wife as well.
Great. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Bye.
Bye.